Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to read Revelation chapter 21. 1948, there were 500,000 plus visitors walked through the White House. You might wonder why. Well, how many of you have ever been through the White House on a White House tour? Let me see your hands. Okay, many of you. Two reasons. Number one, the president lives there. It's the person that's there. You want to see where he lives. Two, it is the one of the most famous buildings in the world. It is sort of the representation of America. And people like to see it. And the number one thing people would like to see, which you can't see anymore, is the Oval Office. That's where the president sits and does all of his work. It's got all kinds of things in the Oval Office that are just amazing. And if you get a chance to go through the building at Christmas time, I've been through the Christmas with all the Christmas trees. They decorated it all up. Oh, it's just beautiful. I remember the last time we were there, they had a group from a school that were playing, I guess it was violins and cellos and stringed instruments, and it was just beautiful. Wow, just, I walked through and I said, wow, it's sort of maybe a little bit like heaven. And then I got to reading, and as I'm studying for the book of Revelation, chapter 2, this 1 and 2 for tonight, and a little bit about heaven, I get all excited. Now, I don't know if you get excited about heaven, but because of Christ in heaven, because of who lives there and what heaven is like, I want to encourage you to get a little bit excited about it because it gives us some reasons to make some spiritual decisions. Christ in heaven give us reasons, at least three that I can think of that are big ones, that are reasons for you and I to make decisions. Everyone needs to make decisions, and sometimes we're forced to make them because of a health issue. I got to make this decision, or a job. I got to make this decision. But I want you to make some big decisions spiritually because heaven is around the corner. I want you to understand that we could be there tonight as we went through a couple of weeks ago. They've already got the ability to put the stamp on your hand and read it with a cell phone and know your name and what kind of medicines you've taken. It's already available. MIT's developed it. Baylor University's developed it. And so it's available for you. And by the way, you can't see it. How many ever thought about when it says the mark would be in your forehead or your hand? How many ever thought about you'd be kind of a mark there, you could see it? It just sort of in my mind, that's what I envisioned. But it's not that way. You just walk up and put a cell phone and read it. It's under your skin. We're close to heaven. When you walk through the buildings now, for you, you know, when I'm walking in, we've got thermometers throughout the building. It's got a little nozzle on it, and I see the kids going to put their forehead on it, and it reads the temperature. Just like that, you're going to walk into a store, run your hand across the counter. It's going to read, yep, he's authorized to buy. What happens as a Christian if you don't get the stamp and you're not authorized to buy? How many of you go to Costco to get your gas and your gas card doesn't work? Or Sam's Club and your gas card doesn't work? Or you punch in your code and your debit card doesn't work? Or you punch in your credit card and it doesn't work? Now what? If you go to Wegmans and they say, I'm sorry, but you're not authorized to buy. And you go to Giant, I'm sorry, but you're not authorized to buy. Now what do you do? We're in trouble. But I want to just take just a minute this morning and every one of us take just a brief look at heaven. Number one, I want you to see just by way of introduction, it doesn't have normal materials like you and I have. I got to thinking about the materials of heaven, the construction for our new building and all the different things that are going in as we're starting to look at those things and put them together. I began to think about, the Lord said, well, the size of it, number one. Did you know heaven has got 1.7 million square miles in it? Think about that. 1.740 million square miles. Now, wait a minute, that's on one level. And the Bible says it goes up 1,320 times above that. It's a cube. Can you imagine the size of the city? Let me put it to you in acres. 1.11 billion acres in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is the center of it. And the Bible says there's a stream comes out of the throne of God. Now, in the center of heaven, the number one most iconic thing in heaven other than Jesus Christ is the throne of God. It's a great white throne. And until the day that everything is settled and eternity begins, it's a throne of judgment. It's a throne of judgment for all of us. Now, if you're unsaved, it's Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. That great white throne, the one who sits on it, is angry because people have rejected his free gift of salvation. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. It's a throne of judgment. But once the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom and eternity begins, it's a throne of grace, and it's a throne where we can go and sit down and talk with him. It's a throne of majesty, like in Revelation 4. You don't want to miss the study of Revelation. It just gets so exciting. But hey, the materials. Now, you know, we begin to think about the materials, and they said the construction team says we need a place to store the materials so people don't steal them. And, you know, I mean, they can steal lumber, and they can steal some steel studs, and they can steal some bags of concrete and things like that. But can you imagine if you laid emeralds and sapphires down? Did you know the Bible says for 1,320 miles in every direction, there's a wall that goes 23 stories high? That one level of it, almost 20 feet of it, is sapphire. Can you imagine seeing through that? And then another one's emerald. Can you imagine seeing through that? Can you imagine when the light of God shines and it glistens and it just lights up? I cannot imagine. And you know what? The Lord says, I've gone, if you're saved this morning, to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you I'd go to prepare a place for you too. So he's preparing a mansion for us. Now, you and I got to looking at the Biltmore House, the largest house in America, 135,000 square feet, $68 million today to build it. It was built for $6 million, and I began to think about 135. All these buildings here, all these buildings at our church are 50,000 square feet. So 2.5 times all of our church building in one house. Now that's a mansion. Can you imagine what the Lord has prepared for us in 2,000 years? Streets of gold, topaz walls, emeralds, sapphires. He's been preparing to shock you and I with his great love for us. Wow. I don't know about you, but I sometimes just think about what the Lord has prepared for us. And it's, well, the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. We've never even thought about the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So you and I have a bright future. Oh my goodness. You and I must understand what God has prepared for us. If you know Christ as Savior, you're already the victor. You and I have such a wonderful thing to look forward to in the place called heaven and in the person called Jesus. Brother Scott alluded to it this morning in Sunday school. The fact that the Lord Jesus is so in love with you. I don't think any of us can possibly understand how much the Lord loves you. The Bible says he sees your thoughts, not because he's trying to check up on us. He just loves to think about us and curious what we think about him. How many of you have ever been curious of what somebody thought about you? Raise your hand. I wonder what this person, I wonder what that person thinks. Well, the Lord Jesus is so in love with us, he's just wondering, what is Dave Pittman thinking about me? The Bible says he watches us sit down and stand up. Now, when Susan was a teenage girl, and I would sit in one side of the youth section, and she'd sit on the other side, I would do that. I'd watch her sit down, watch her stand up, say, wow, she's beautiful. Wow. I can't wait to ask her to be my wife. Wow. Hope she doesn't slap me. Oh, that'd be great. I can't wait. And you know, I would think about her. I'd think about her during the daytime. I remember Travis Cumbus, between Travis and Morris, my best friends in high school, and Travis and I worked for my dad, for my uncle's company, dad's company, and I remember us digging a sewer line one time. We're sitting there, and as we're digging the sewer line together, my dad said, I need somebody to help. You want to do it all? I don't want to do it all. Go get one of your friends. I get one of my friends, and Travis and I, we're digging this ditch, and he's fallen in love with a lady named Christy, and matter of fact, I talked to Christy this week. They have 8 children. They were missionaries in Germany for 20 years, pastoring here for 20 years. And we began to talk about it then, many years ago. And he said, boy, he said, isn't Christy the most beautiful woman in the world? No. Susan is. And we almost got in a fight right then. And then we started laughing. We kept digging that ditch. And we were talking about, well, Susan is this and Christy's this. And we're talking, do you know Jesus Christ says, I think more thoughts about you than are sand particles on the seashore. Let that sink in. And he says, I know where you are today. I see where you're sitting because I'm in love with you. What should that great love and preparation that God has prepared for us cause in our hearts? Well, number one, it ought to give you and I a reason to receive him as our Savior. It ought to make you and I want to not go to hell and to see that glorious place. Everybody in this room, have you put your faith and trust in Christ or you're going to miss it? I cannot imagine the horror of missing the most beautiful and wonderful place that God has ever created. He makes the world in 7 days, 6 days, and rested the seventh, and he takes 2,000 years to prepare a home in heaven for us. I cannot imagine what it must be like. But you might say, well, Pastor, you know, that's kind of crazy. Well, you know, I just don't know. Sometimes it's just a struggle to really believe there's really a God. And yet, do you understand that all of this did not just happen? How many of you have ever seen, I remember going up in school, and I think they still teach it, the Big Bang. I mean, they teach the Big Bang theory, that all of a sudden a Big Bang happened and we began to evolve out of that Big Bang. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, I remember seeing some stadiums that they destroyed, and they go in and they put charges all over the stadium, and then all of a sudden they push one button and they all go off, and they go in a series, and you begin to see the stadium collapse, and all that stadium collapses, and then a cloud of dust goes up, and then they come in and take the rubble out and in bulldozers and put them in trucks, T-Rex trucks, the great big ones, and I begin to notice all that goes on. And I know one thing, I've never seen a picture where they push that button. I've watched a few of those stadiums that they just collapse. The smoke goes up. And then a day later, everything settles. You go in there, there's never been a new stadium under it. There's never been anything good developed. You didn't go in that pile and say, I wonder if a cell phone got created here. I wonder if a microwave got created in here with that big boom. Something must have happened. I wonder if there's a new Mercedes in here. Let me see if I can find that. You say, Pastor, that's the stupidest thought I've ever heard in my life, that a whole stadium could blow up and another stadium would be created as a result. Is that any dumber than the Big Bang Theory? In my science book, when I had to read it and memorize it? I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven today. When you write checks in your checkbook, 2022 or 2020, you wrote it based upon the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ. The whole world recognizes he came. There's evidence and proof of it. The question is, will you be willing to go to him and say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for me. I know that you came and lived in this life, a perfect life that I could not live. And I know I'm a sinner. And Jeremy read it, Revelation 21, 27 said, there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth it. And every one of us in this room will defile it. We're sinners. Our sin has got to be removed. But the Lord Jesus said, I've taken care of that for you. I came to die and wash away your sin. You see, we use currency of gold and dollars and lira and the yen and all kinds of different things. And God uses one global currency, and that's blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17, 11. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So that's why Jesus Christ had to come and die and shed his blood on the cross. Every drop of it. So when Dave Pittman said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I want to come and live with you and I want to be with you and I want to be forgiven of my sin, the Lord Jesus comes and says, okay, and he takes his payment on the cross, his shed blood, and wipes away the book with all my sin written in it. And I'm clean. I'm still guilty, but I've been forgiven. Have you made that great decision spiritually? Because of Jesus Christ and because of heaven, have you made it yet? If you haven't, make today the great day when you say, today I'm going to decide that heaven is going to be my home and Jesus is going to be my Savior. Lord, would you forgive me of my sin? I am sorry for my sin. I'm not proud of it. I want you to forgive me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? A place called hell. Saved to a place called heaven. Today, have you made the first great decision? I have received Christ as Savior. I've repented of my sin. I've told the Lord I'm sorry. You see, understand this. The Lord Jesus loves you so much. He is waiting for you personally to come talk to him. This is not a corporate thing. It's not like all of a sudden we're in church and let's all pray together. No, it's not like that. Jesus Christ is looking for you, Mr. Steele. Have you talked to me? Looking for each one of us in this room. Have you, Brother Eddie? Have you, Michaela? Have you, Caroline? I mean, he looks at us and says, it's between you and I. Would you just ask me to wash away your sin? Would you just tell me you're sorry so I can take my blood and apply it to your account? Have you repented of your sin and received Christ as Savior today? That's the first and greatest reason I can think of that heaven and Jesus Christ in heaven causes me to do. That's the greatest thing in my life. It gives me a reason to want to pray and get things squared away. I want to see heaven. I want to see the throne of God, and I want to see the one who sits on it. And I want to say thank you for saving me. I'm looking forward to that day. Number one reason to receive Christ as Savior. But number two, if you have your Bible, I want you to take your wood to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to go through a very quick passage from Peter. Now it's amazing that the Apostle Peter got to write this passage. Oh, arrogant, angry, impetuous Peter, and yet God changes his heart and his life, and the Lord allows him to write this book, 1st and 2nd Peter, the one that put his foot in his mouth at the transfiguration, the one that denied Jesus Christ even knowing him, didn't want any part of him. That Peter so had the Holy Spirit change his life. You know, he made a big spiritual decision because of Jesus and because of heaven. He made a big spiritual decision. Keep your finger, and if you wouldn't notice, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He put his faith and trust in Christ. There was a point in time he says, I'm writing this to those people who have a like faith like me. You have trusted Christ with me. I have too. So you can see he made this first great decision. And that is that I want Jesus to be my Savior because I want to see heaven. And you're going to see in a minute that he did want to see heaven. He's looking forward to it. And that motivated him to say, I want to get things squared away. And notice, if you would, the second great decision. Look down in verse number five. And beside this, beside trusting Christ as Savior. And folks, now listen very carefully. Trusting Christ as Savior is a global thing. It's for everybody in the world. And it doesn't matter if you were born in whatever religion you were. All the religions of the world are man-made but one. And that's Christianity. And you and I have to learn that and understand that we must get the gospel around the world to people so they too can make the same decision. Otherwise, you know what they have to rely upon? The sun, moon, and the stars. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, they can see that somebody put it there. And they can call out and say, oh, whoever you are that put that sun there, that put that moon there, I want to know about you. And we've had two instances in our church where missionaries from around the world have told us, I went on a trip, and one's in Korea, and one, I've forgotten, the other place in Africa. And the one in Korea was 25 years, it was 30 years ago here in church, but he said 25 years this man had been praying to the sun, the moon, and said, I don't know who you are, I don't know who put you there. He wasn't praying to the sun. He was praying to the person who put the sun there. And he said, I want someone to come and tell me who you are. And 25 years later, a missionary got lost on his motorcycle and knocked on his little hut. And he said, are you the man? He said, what are you talking about? The missionary said, I'm lost. I'm trying to find my way. He says, are you the man? He said, what are you talking about, sir? He said, are you the man that's supposed to tell me who put the sun there? He said, I sure am. And he stood up with him and took him in his home and shared the gospel with him. And he trusted Christ to save. That's happened twice. But I don't know about you, but I'd like to have someone to sit down with me with a copy of the scriptures with love in their heart and share the gospel with me. That would be better than having to figure it out myself from the sun, moon, and the stars. And yet, we're all accountable. So the first great decision that Peter made was like precious faith. The second one, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. There's a renovation that must take place in our lives. Folks, we're born with the flesh. The flesh causes us to lie, to cheat, to be dishonest, to be bitter, to be angry, to be unforgiving. The flesh causes us. We all have it. Oh, some of us have a little bit more flesh in anger. Some of us have a little bit more flesh in bitterness. Some of us have a little bit more flesh in laziness. Some of us have a little bit more flesh in... You just pick it. We all have tendencies, but all of us have the flesh. And it is not exemplary of Jesus Christ. And he said, look, why don't you make the second great decision and say, I want to be like Christ. I want my life to be different. I don't anymore want to have to succumb and knuckle under to my anger. I want to give it to the Lord. I no longer want to have the old devil take my flesh and make me knuckle under to my unforgiveness, and I walk around bitter my whole life. I don't want that anymore. Lord, would you renovate my life? Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, when you decide to renovate something, there's two parts to that. We have some people in this room that renovate homes. It's our job. The first thing you do is you go and you tear everything out. Or you figure out what you can keep, what you can't keep, and then you tear everything out that's bad. That's what you have to do. If you have your Bible, turn to Colossians. I want you to see this. Colossians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Keep your finger in 2 Peter 1 because we're going to come back there. Notice, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Notice, if you would, verse number 1. Now, let's just follow through with Peter and his thought process. Verse number 1. This is Paul and his thought process. If ye then be risen with Christ. Okay, so if you've been risen with Christ, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you made the first great decision. You've trusted Christ as Savior. Now it's ready for the second decision. Notice this. Seek those things which are above. What's that? Heaven and Christ. And notice with me, if you what he says in verse number 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now watch this. Verse number 8. But now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. No Christian ought to ever curse. He said, put that away. If you're going to make the second great decision beside this, Peter said, add to your faith. He said, the first thing you got to do is get rid of stuff. Notice if he says in verse number 8 of Colossians 3, he says, put off all these. Get rid of your anger. Say, Lord, I don't want this anger anymore. I'm going to give it to you. I don't want this bitterness anymore. I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I don't want my filthy tongue. Do you remember it was Peter that cursed and swore and said, blankety, blank, 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 I don't know the man. He went from that to writing scripture and say, beside all this, add to your faith. And he says, you need a clean mouth. So you got to renovate your life. The first thing you have to do is get rid of the old stuff. So what is it in your life that you struggle with? Give it to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I want to renovate my life. Now follow with me. Look, number one is to get rid of some stuff, but notice number two, B, in verse 10, and have put on the new man. So you put off the old man. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man. Now watch this. Which is, here it is, renewed. We want to be renewed in Christ in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you have to make that second great decision. I want to be renovated or renewed in Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be in the image of Christ. So when the people see us, they see us and hear us handling things in the right way. And folks, all of us in this room, our buttons get pushed from time to time. It's how we respond when our button gets pushed. That's when we shine. You're driving your car. Somebody cuts you off, honks a horn at you, and you didn't do anything wrong. And all of a sudden, something happens in your heart. I told you about it the other day. I was sitting at the hospital. Matter of fact, Jeremy and I were sitting in the hospital with one of our members just before they were going into surgery. We're having a word of prayer with them. And I had my mask on. And I was talking to Jeremy, and it got like that. And there was a lady 15 feet from us, nobody else in the waiting room that I could see anywhere close to us, two-story building. And she said, maybe y'all don't know this, but you're supposed to have your mask up above your nose. It's the safest thing to do. Now, 15 feet away, and, you know, we're concerned and praying for this lady, and we're sitting there talking, waiting for her husband to come back out, and, you know, my sweet spiritual thought was, now, what are y'all laughing about? You had the same thought. You know, in my mind, my flesh wanted to say, what business is it of yours? I'm not anywhere close to you. Are you the masked policeman? Let me see your badge. You know, all these wrong thoughts in my mind. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You know what? What I have to think about is that lady may not have made the first big decision yet. And I've got to be a light. I have proof that I didn't say anything bad. Somebody was there with me. But I also have evidence in heaven that I thought some things bad. So you know what? I got some more renovating to do. But I'm making up my mind. I'm going to make my decision, Lord. I want to be like you. I want to have the right attitude with you, that whenever you see someone that's struggling to do what's right, you pray for them. And somebody mistreats you, you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help me to have that kind of spirit. Pray for those to despitefully use you. Lord, help me to renovate my life to be like that. You got a family member that maybe hadn't treated you right, forgive them. Forgive them and pray for them, that the Lord would help them to be what he wants them to be. But for most of, for you to say, Lord, beside this, I want to be right. I want to renovate my life. And notice with me, if you would, in verse number 12 of Colossians 3, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, watch this, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Put on this idea that we're nothing without Jesus. We need him. He is the strength of our life. He is the source of our joy. He is the source of everything good in our life. Notice this, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Notice verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. In verse 14, and beside all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You see, when you love people and when you love the Lord, when you love looking to see the Lord, then all this love is the bond of your life. That bond takes all this forgiveness and puts it in one package and causes you and I to become more in the image of Jesus Christ. So when people see us, say, wow, what is it you have? How did you respond that way to your boss? With grace and mercy. Notice, if you would, the second great decision is, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to renovate my life. I can't do it by myself. Now turn, if you would, back to 2 Peter chapter 2, and notice, if you would, chapter 1, if you would notice this, verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, put all of your heart into it. Give all diligence to add to your life. Notice what he says, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, I love the word add here. It's epikorgeo. It's the original word for this. Now, if you notice the choir this morning, by the way, I appreciate those folks that are singing in the choir. It is family standing together that were former choir members, and we try to mix and match from week to week to get new people in it. So if you'd like, if you're in the part of the choir, we try to get you up there. We try to get as many voices as we can, people that are available. And when they begin to sing, now Brother Brandon's up here, and he's trying to get a beautiful sound to come out, a beautiful melody. And so when he hears the basses are a little bit too loud or a little bit too quiet, maybe you'll kind of pull them out and say, give me a little more bass, or a little bit more treble, or a little bit less this, or a little bit more that. So he is sort of guiding the choir, and he is adding and taking away from. That's the word epikorgeo. So Dave Pittman needs to add a little bit more sweetness to his life. Get rid of a little bit of that bitterness, and you begin to add things to your life so that you bring forth a beautiful melody. Now watch it. Read this. Notice, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, I don't see, is Jonathan Manchesky here today? Jonathan? Are you, pardon me? Okay, good, so I can tell the story. Don't you tell him I said this, okay? How many of y'all have watched him lead the orchestra in the school? Okay, that is the picture of diligence. Raise your hand one more time. Let me see it up there. How many have seen it? You know the way he does it? Now, see if I'm getting it right. He's got his back to you, and he's going. I mean, it's like he's all in. How many flapping around and going all over the place? I look at it and say, wow. Now, this is Jonathan. Let's all sing, page 341. Oh, how I love. But you put him in front of a choir and an orchestra, it is all over the place. You know what I think? I'd like to present Jesus Christ in heaven to you. and see if you wouldn't come unglued at the seams and say, Lord, I've got to add to my life. Lord, I've got to get rid of these things in my life. I want to be like you. Where's the diligence? Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, he said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that's moral fiber, moral conviction. We've lost that in America. Moral conviction. Don't live together before you get married. That's wrong. But 50% of the people do it, but it doesn't make it right. There's the word. Add to your life virtue, truthfulness, moral integrity. Notice, if you would, to virtue knowledge, the knowledge of God. Study God's word. And you go down the list here in verse number 8, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you shall be not barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, verse 9, is blind. And notice what it says. And cannot see afar off. You know what it says? You can't see heaven and you can't see Jesus. And you know what else it says? The next phrase says, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We can't see back and remember when Jesus saved us. Every morning that I get up, and Lord willing, till the day I die, I in my mind get down on my knees before the Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for letting me get out of that seat, walk down the aisle, and go to the preacher and say, I need to be saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. And I went to a little back room behind the baptistry. It's no longer there in the church where I was saved. And I remember getting out on my knees and said, Lord Jesus, it's me, Dave Pittman. I need to be saved. Would you forgive me? And that day, 53 years ago, I calculated this morning, how many years have been saved? 53 years. And I remember saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you so much. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget that my sins have been washed away and I didn't deserve it. I don't want to forget that I am who I am because he made me that way. He forgave me my sin, gave me a home in heaven, and he's going to fulfill the promises he made to me, even though I don't deserve a one of them. And so humility began to sweep over my heart and say, Lord, why? Why would you save me, Lord? Why would you forgive me? Why would you go to Calvary and die for me? And he just says one thing. I love you. Do we love him back? It's important that we do. If you love something, you're diligent toward it. If you love something, your heart's in it. Could I encourage you to fall in love with Jesus Christ in heaven? The first big decision, trust Christ as Savior. I'm going to repent of my sin and receive Christ. Second big decision, renew your life in Christ. Renovate your life. And the third big decision is this. To rejoice in this life because of the entrance we're going to have when we go home. If you have your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me, if you would, in verse number 9. I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to jump down to verse 11. 2 Peter 1, 9. But he that lacketh these things, he's not renovated his life. He just left his life like it was. He's not grown much in Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. You know that word blind, to flao, does not mean his eyes don't work. It means there's smoke between, it's a word for smoke. It's something between you and heaven. It's something between you and Jesus Christ that you cannot see him. And it could be lustful in this life. It could be things in this life. But something the old devil has placed in your life that you cannot see heaven. And the reason for changing your life, for renovating your life, you cannot see it. He said he is blind and cannot see afar off. Not because our eyes don't work, but our eyes are in the wrong place. They're looking for things in this life and not for things in heaven. We haven't set our affection on things in heaven yet. And you'll notice he says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, because everybody in this room that's saved is going to go step foot inside heaven, Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. I want to remind you that heaven is right around the corner. Everybody in this room that's saved is going to go to heaven, either at the rapture or at death. One way or the other, we're going to see heaven. And what kind of an entrance will you have? Now, I think of two kinds of entrances. I think of the kind of entrance, and my favorite one is the one that Stephen had. The Bible says in Acts that Stephen was being stoned and he kneels down and they're stoning him and blood is flowing and he's about ready to die and he looks up and he says, I see Jesus standing. And Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I cannot imagine having the God of heaven. If I rise, Stephen's coming home. Wow. At every wedding that I've ever done, every ride rise, the bride is entering the building out of respect. Could you imagine a greater entrance than Jesus Christ himself with the nail prints in his hand says, let's all rise. Stephen's coming home. But we cannot have that kind of an entrance unless we renovate our life, receive Christ as Savior, and learn to rejoice in this life. Learn to be happy in this life because of what our future is like. You don't have to worry about finances in your spiritual retirement. You don't have to worry about the home you're going to live in your spiritual retirement. It's all taken care of for you, and it's beyond your wildest dreams. Why in the world shouldn't you and I get up in the morning and say, heaven's around the corner. Boy, this is going to be a great day. How does a Christian get down with that in the eyes view? It's whenever smoke gets in front of our eyes. And the old devil's smoke is a little bitterness, a little hurt, a little fear, a little worry. And we can't see, I've got heaven. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians 4. This will be the last verse we'll look at. Philippians 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul said, now keep in mind, does anybody know where Paul is when he writes Philippians? Prison. He's in prison and he said, hey, everybody rejoice. He must have got up that morning and said, I see heaven. I see the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a great day. Get away, rat. Get away, rat. Get away. Heaven's around the corner. Now, if you and I focus on the rats, we're going to lose our joy. If we focus on what Christ has prepared for us, nothing can take away our joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't let your mind get taken off of heaven and spiritual things and the Lord Jesus. Don't start to worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So whether you go into a doctor's appointment wondering what's going to happen, let the peace of God come into your heart. Heaven is mine. The Lord Jesus is mine. He is waiting for me. And when I step foot inside heaven, I want an abundant entrance. I wasn't the one that wrote it. But he said, I want you to have an abundant entrance. Abundant, running over, beyond your wildest dreams. That's the word abundance. It comes from the word plural, which is the word for fill up. To have something filled and overflowing, it comes from the word riches. You and I are so rich. Rejoice. When Polycarp, who was, as far as we know, the last survivor that saw, preacher, that saw John the Baptist or any of the apostles, he died in 155 A.D. He was martyred. And they took him out. He's 87 years old. He's totally in love with the Lord Jesus. And they had a principle that all of the Christians adhered to. You don't make yourself available. You don't volunteer for martyrdom. But you don't run from it when they come after you. So the soldiers had knocked on his door. And his friend said, out the back. Said, no. They came and got him. And they said, today you're going to die. Unless you recant. He said, he deemed me worthy of this day, spoke about the Lord, an hour that I might take a portion of the martyrs and the cup of Christ. Among these may I today be welcomed before thy face as a rich and acceptable sacrifice. Lord, would you see my sacrifice today as a rich and acceptable sacrifice to you? Just before the fire engulfed him, the consul said, have respect for your old age, man. Swear by Caesar. Repent and say down with the atheists. Christians that didn't believe in Caesar being the God, so they were considered atheists. Polycarp looked at him and said, as he reproached him again, said, receive Christ, repent of Christ. Reproach Christ, and I will set you free. And this was his response. 86 years have I served him. And he's done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? I'll see him soon. Today, if you knew today was your last day, would you be able to say, he's done me no wrong. I'm going home. I want you to be pleased with me. I'm going to see my Savior and my King. Today, you and I in this room must understand that heaven awaits you. Jesus Christ awaits you. He's thinking more thoughts about you than the sand of the sea. He's prepared a home in heaven for you. Every gate, 12 gates in that city, all of one pearl, signifying one thing, the suffering on the cross. Because every pearl is made out of suffering. And he wants you and I to know, heaven is yours. Will you have an abundant entrance? You can. Let's learn to rejoice. Let's learn to renovate. And if you've never trusted him, let's receive him as Savior today. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Brandon to lead us in a song of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. If you say, Pastor, today I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've put my faith and trust in Christ. I can't go back and rejoice over the day I trusted Christ. I don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Would you just step out of your seat, come to me this morning? I can assure you of one thing. The Lord Jesus is watching you. And he wants to save you this morning. That's why he came and died, was to make salvation and heaven possible for you. Everyone in this room. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. There's not one person on the face of the earth, black, white, green, yellow, tall, short, rich, or poor, that Jesus Christ says, I don't love you. He loves us all, for God so loved the world. Would you receive him? And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've got some rough edges in my life. I know it. Maybe you're 30 years old. Maybe you're 50 years old. Maybe you're 70 years old. And you say, I need the Lord to help me. I want to renovate my life. It's never too late to become like Christ. Never. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't rejoice much. I'm not a happy person. I don't think about heaven hardly at all. I don't think about the Lord Jesus Christ hardly at all. Could I urge you to say, Lord, I want to get that smoke out of my eyes, and I want to see you. Because one of these days, I know I'm coming home. I want an abundant entrance. I'm reminded in 1 John chapter 1, a passage of scripture that always comes to my attention when I think about heaven. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abundant entrance. That's what I would encourage you to have this morning. Are you rejoicing? Are you renovating? Have you received him as Savior? Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. Dear Holy Spirit, would you touch our hearts as only you can? Lord, I know we have masks on, and it's just a different environment. Would you change it in our hearts? Draw us up close to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 639, as the pianist begins to play, if you need to come this morning, first verse, we'll not play long. This verse is for you.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you. Greet somebody before you leave this morning. Let's be friendly, even though we can do it at 6 feet, okay? Let's still be a blessing to one another. Lord Jesus, how do we say thank you for all your thoughts toward us, for your loving kindness? Lord, thank you for heaven. Thank you for what you've prepared for us. Lord, we have no clue as to all the things that you've got in store for us. But Lord, if this earth and Lord, all of the beauty of so many places, the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls and, Lord, the beautiful places, the Amazon Valley, River Basin, Lord, all the places around the world, what must heaven be like? Lord, I pray that you would help us this week to make an eternal difference in our lives and rejoice in you because of who you are and what you've prepared for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Don't forget, front comes out the front, back goes out the back. May the Lord bless you today. Mm-hmm.